Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Ches. We're going to begin 15 lines from the top, Lamed Ches and Aleph, with the words that we have is Tanya Idoch. Albeit on the side, it says the gears of the Aruch over here is Tan Rabban. We're learning today Leilu Nishmas Nancy Morgenstern, Chana Perel, Bas Chanoch Henek. All the Nishamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we'll begin again. 15 lines on the top, Lamed Ches and Aleph, with the words Tanya Idoch or Tanu Rabbanan, as it says on the side. What is this Brisa telling us? Vishivor bi'ador, on the seventh day of Ador, Meis Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. We know that. Vishivor Ador, no let. And we also know he was born on the seventh day of Ador. One of the reasons why Haman made his terrible miscalculation in terms of thinking that it would be good to destroy Klai Yisrael in the month of Ador was he saw that Moshe Rabbeinu died in the month of Ador and there were no Yomim Tovim during the month of Ador. He didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu was also born during the month of Ador. If he only knew HaGemara, maybe things would have been different. In any event, the Brisa tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar, and he was born on the 7th of Adar. So the obvious question is, Minayin should be Shiva be Adar Meis. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th day of Adar? So the Psukim tell us, Shenemar, Vayomos Shom Moshe, Eved Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu died. We read about this in the upcoming Parashios. We're at the very end of the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu dies. He's the Eved Hashem, and he dies in the Arvos Moav. Vayomos Shom Moav, Eved Hashem, the Arvos Moav. Now, it says also, "Ksiv vayivku v'nei Yisrael es Moshe bi'arvos Moav shloshim yom." Klai Yisrael mourned Moshe Rabbeinu. The men in Klai Yisrael mourned Moshe Rabbeinu for 30 days. It says by Aaron that both the men and the women mourned Aaron a coin. In any event, Moshe Rabbeinu, the men mourned him for 30 days, and then it says, "Ksiv." After that, "Vahi achrei Moshe Eved Hashem." Was after Moshe Rabbeinu, the Eved Hashem died. So it says in Yoshua, the very first parak of Yoshua, "Ksiv Moshe avdi meis the." Moshe Rabbeinu, the Eved of Hashem, Meis, V'atah, Kumavar. And now, after the 30 days of Avelus that they had, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't speak, Rashi told us to say to Yoshua during that period of time, when you're in Avelus, you're in a sad state, and you can't accept the Nevuah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu only spoke to Yoshua on the 30th day. Tosus brings down Mikse Yom Kukulo. He spoke to him, as we'll see, it was on the beginning of the 7th day, which was the 30th day of the Avelus, Mikseh Yom Kukulo, and he told him, "Ksiv, Ivru b'kerav ha'machne, go through the camp, v'tzavu esam, and tell all the Klai Yisrael, Lamor telling them, hachinu lechem tzeda, go prepare food, kibiot shloshes yomim, in 3 days." Now, we have the gears of Tavru, but the actual pasuk is atem ovrim es hayadin, you're going to cross the yarden. And then it says further, "Ksiv, v'am alumin hayadin, besol lechodesh rishon," and the people passed through the Yarden, the crossing of the Yarden, the miraculous event of Kriyas Yarden, which was in some ways even greater than Kriyas Yamsuf, as the Gemara elsewhere discusses. So they ended up going through the Yarden on the 10th day of the month of Nisan, the first month. And therefore, if you count backwards, this is the 10th day of Nisan, and you take off the 3 days that they had the preparation, and then the 30 days of the Avelus, Semeim Shloshim Ushlosha Yamim, Lamafreya, and you go backwards, so it turns out, Olamanata, Shibishiva Biador, Meis Moshe. You can calculate it out that since Adar was 29 days in the month, and you then add on the 10 days of Nisan, and you go back 33 days, so 10 and then an additional 23 days less, so you come to the 7th of Adar, and that's when Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, died. Simeon Shloshu, Shloshu, Yomil Mafreya, Halamata, Shibishiva, Biador, Meis Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th day of Adar. How do we know he was born on that day? Uminayin Shibishiva, Biador, Nolad Moshe. Where do we see the proof that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the 7th day of Adar? Shinema, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Alehem, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klai Yisrael in his valedictory address, he says, Vayomer Alehem, De Me'avi Esim Shana, Onuchi Hayom. I am 120 years old, and it says the extra word hayom. The word hayom is yesera, it's extra. Lo'uchal od, let's say salavo. I no longer can go back and forth. I no longer am entitled to be the leader of Klai Yisrael. Even though he was physically still strong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's it. Now Yeshua has to come and be the leader. Now, why did it say the word hayom? Shein tamad lomar hayom. That's an extra word. Ma tamad lomar hayom. So why did it say the word hayom? To teach us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits, so to say, kaviyochel, umemalei shnosem, and he fills in the years, shel tzadikim, miyom liyom, umichosh lodesh, from the day of their birth, the month of their birth, he gives them the complete full year until they die. So they die on their birthday. Their yahrzeit is their birthday. And therefore, shenema, we know this because it says, Es mispar yomecho amalei. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises that he will fill the years. In other words, they will get the complete year. If they're supposed to live to be 120, they won't live to be less than the full year of the 120th year. So therefore, Mestam, if Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th day of Adar, he was also born on the 7th day of Adar. Now we have another Braisa, Tanya. The Braisa tells us, Rishim Yochai Omer, the great Rishim Yochai tells us, Shalosh mitzos nitztavi Yisrael b'chnisos l'aretz. There were three mitzos that Klai Yisrael were commanded to do when they entered into the land of Eretz Yisrael. The Noagos, and these three mitzos are Noagos, also Bein Ba'aretz, Bein Chutz L'aretz. Not only are they Noheges in Eretz Yisrael, but they're also Noheges in Chutz L'aretz. And this is a Kal V'chomer, why this is so. Vu Hadin Shein Hagu. There's a Kal V'chomer here that teaches us these three dinim. Two of them are learned as a Kal V'chomer from one of the other dinim. As Rashi explains, in Vu Hadin Shein Hagu, Rashi tells us, HaChadosh, the din of Chadosh, is Mufurish Bo. That is specifically stated in the Pasuk, because it says, Moshav. And therefore, Uksavar, Kol Mokom, that teaches us any place where Klai Yisrael lives. In other words, throughout the entire world. Shatem Yoshim. Umashma, that's teaching us throughout the whole world. However, V'arlo V'kilayim are learned out from a Kal V'chomer, Mikal V'chomer from Chodesh. If Chodesh is Noeg throughout the world, then certainly Arlo and Kilayim are also going to be Nohagim throughout the entire world. Now, why is that so? What's this Kal V'chomer? Uma Chodesh, the Gemara says, She'ein Isuro Isur Olam. The din of Chodesh is not a permanent Isur. In other words, when the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach comes, the 16th day of Nisan comes, and they bring the carbon to Omer, or even Nebuch in the times when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then at the end of that day, so then the prohibition against eating the new crop, the chadosh, goes away. So, ma chadosh ain isur isur olam. It's not a permanent isur, it's only an isur up until either the time they bring the carpet over or until the end of the 16th day of the month of Nisan. And likewise, ve'in isur isur hanah. And even before the 16th day of Nisan, it's not an isur hanah. If you do have those crops, you could sell them to a guy, you could feed them to your animal. There isn't an isur hanah, there's only an isur of eating it. So, ve'in isur isur hanah. And furthermore, ve'yesh heter lisuro. Likewise, there's a heter for this isur when you bring the carbon to Omer. So even though it would be awesome until the end of the day, that day, if you bring the carbon to Omer in the morning, so then even that day, on the 16th of Nisan, you don't have to wait till the end of the day. There's a heter for this isur. So all three of these things are coolest that we find by Chadosh, and yet, the din is Noeg, Bein Baretz, Bein Chutz Laretz. The din of Chadosh is applicable even in Chutz Laretz. So certainly then, Kilayim has all three of these things, L'chumra. Sheisurin Isrolim. Kilayim never goes away. Once you have an Isser of Kilayim, it's a permanent Isser of Kilayim. It never gets taken away. There's no heter for Kilayim. And the Isurin Isanah. And Kilayim is also Bahanah. You can't get benefit from it. You can't feed it to your animal. You can't go and sell it to a guy. And furthermore, they ain't heter Isurin. There is no heter for this. You can't go and do something to remove this Isser of Kilayim. It's always usher to do this. And therefore, certainly, ain't no din. If it has these three chumras over Chodosh, and Chodosh is no Heges, Bein the Eretz, Bein the Chutz La'aretz, so certainly Kilayim also Eino Din Shein Hagu Bein the Eretz, Bein the Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, that's the Kal V'chomer for Kilayim, and the Gemara says, the Braisa continues, V'hu Adin Li'arla B'shtayim. Rashi explains that the Din over here, there's two of these three things that are applicable by Arla. What are these two of these three things? So Rashi, Di Ramasa, Adin Li'arla B'shtayim, he says, Afa Arla, you can learn it out as a Kal V'chomer from Chodosh. But only with two of the three things, the Bishnei HaChachos, because Afa Bisha Shlishi Ein, but even though the third one is also not applicable by Arla, nevertheless, two of the three is enough to make the Kal V'chomer. Now, what's the third one? Shein Isur Isur Olam. By Arla, it's not a permanent Isur. It's only in the first 3 years. In the fourth year, you go and eat the fruit in Yerushalayim. And the fifth year, it's totally free. So it's not an Isur Olam. So nevertheless, Miyu Isur Anah Hu, it does have an Isur Anah on the Arla, and Vein Lo Heter B'Sochi Mei Isur, and there is no Heter during those first 3 years. So therefore, it has two of the three. So the same Kal V'chomer applies, the way Rashi understands this, to Arla for two of the three things. And therefore, that's why if Chodesh is applicable in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, so too certainly Arla, because of the two of the items that it has a chumra over Chodesh, to certainly be applicable in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Tosis has a totally different way of understanding this. And Dibur Masel V'Hudin L'Arla B'Shtayim. So he first explains Rashi Birsha Kuntres Avagad Ein Isur Isur Olam the Muteres B'Shana Revius. So he says Miu Isuro Isur Hana Ein Lo Heter Toch Yimei Isur. So that's what we just said in Rashi. But the Hikshu Rabbeinu Tam doesn't like this, and he says Hare Hapri Shegodel B'Shnei Arla Asur Li'Olam. He says, what are you telling me that it's not an Isur Olam? That fruit that grows in the first 3 years is also forever. It doesn't become mutter in the fourth year or in the fifth year. That fruit is also forever. Ve'en lo heter, no matter what. So therefore, it's also an Isser Olam. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, the Arla Zu Bishon Revius Kamar. It's talking about Arla in the fourth year. The Yesh Heter Li Yisuro Ayidei Pidyon. It means that the Arla in the fourth year So there's a hetter for it via pidyon. You can redeem it and bring the money up to Yerushalayim, and then the fruit doesn't have the kedusha anymore. So therefore, that's why it's two. Abu Mishtayim, the other two, Ratz Olam, Isuro Isra Olam, that it's forbidden forever. The Isra Anah, that is applicable over here as well. Okay. Rabbeinu Yontiv Pirish Diba Arla Mamish Kamar. No, it is talking about regular Arla. The Yesh Heter Li Suro. What's the Heter for the Isser? V'Hachi Pirusho. This is how he explains it. Yesh Heter Li Grom Isser. He says, you're allowed to plant the tree. There's no Isser in planting a tree, even though you're going to cause Arla. Ulanatatem, and to go and plant, it is allowed. As opposed to V'Kilayim is also Legadlim Ulazarim. You're never allowed to go and plant Kilayim. That's the difference between the Kilayim that has all three, and the Orla that only has two. V'ikshalo Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam didn't like this, and he says, Diktani B'Sifri, it says, Yesh Heter Li Achar Isuro. There is Heter over here after the Isur, which implies, Mashma Asher Isur Nafka, that the Isur goes away. And therefore, that's why he didn't like the Rabbeinu Yontif's answer. And finally, we have Rav Moshe Mi Puntizia. See, he says, Mefarish, the Orla Yesh Heter Li Isuro, the heter that we're talking about by Arla for the Isser is Ayidei Beistin. The Beistin can say the pre-Arla Asurim ad Tubishvat. Normally the year runs, when do we say that the third year is up? By Tubishvat. And therefore Beistin has the ability to say Tubishvat is earlier or late. Vimchisru Beistin Chodesh Kislev, by making Chodesh Kislev only 29 days instead of the potential for 30 days, Hare Mimarin Yom Heterin. So they're bringing the day of heter one day closer. And likewise, the Kain Chodesh, by Chodesh, the Chodesh also argues Ayin Nisan. The Chodesh is normally also until the conclusion of the 16th day of Nisan. In other words, it's only permissible on the 17th day of Nisan. And the Imchasu Beis and Chodesh Adar, if they make Adar only have 29 days instead of 30 days, Nimso Shimaharin Yom Heteru, they can go make the day come faster than it's permissible. As opposed to Masha'en can be Kilayim, this can't be done by Kilayim. Shein Beis and Micholon Latirun Bishum Inyan. Beis and can't, under any circumstances, make the Kilayim good. And finally, let's already finish this Tosus. We don't get a chance to do too many Tosus and totally inside. So Tosus and further off and finishes and says, "Oh, Amar the Re, the Elon coin." It's talking about the tree. The Yesh Heter Li Isuro Lepri Shegadelbo. That the fruits of the tree have the Heter. The Enu Neser Mashegadel Li Acha Gimushanim. It means after the third year, those fruits are Heter. The Kain Kone Shibolus Ein Hatvua Neseres Mishum Chodosh Mashegadel Bekone Hashibolus Li Achar HaOmer. So likewise, the growth of the stalk. So anything that grew after the Omer. So then, even though it's still in the ground, so what was there before was also, but was there afterwards is Mutter. Ho the Hishrish Kodem Omer. Since it took root before the Omer, Ulafiza Osi Afilu Mandiomer Heyer Mizrach Matir. Even according to Mandiomer, it says Heyer Mizrach by the start of the light of the day. So technically, it's Mutter. So this would be another distinction. Okay, so we went through this Tosos, and simple understanding like Rashi is, as we explained, that the Isser over here, it's not an Isser Olam because the Peiros only also for 3 years. Fine, that is the opinion of the Tana, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Brisa continues and tells us, however, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, his own son, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, these are the two famous Tanaim, Rav Shimon and his son Rav Elazar, who were in the cave for the 12 years and then the extra 13th year. So they're great, 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 great Tanoim. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai stated his opinion, and his son disagrees with him. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon Omer, and he says no. And we turn to Lamed Ches Lamed Beis. He says no. Kol mitzvah shenitzdavu Yisrael kodem chnisas loretz. Any mitzvah that was established before we entered into the land, as Rashi says, lanhiga kodem shiyichansu l'eretz, that before it's in effect, before they entered Eretz Yisrael. In other words, dainu chovas aguf. It's a personal obligation. No heges bein baris bein mechutzlar. Says we've already explained, it has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, if we were commanded it even before we entered Eretz Yisrael, so that commandment took effect. However, those mitzvos are noheges ben baris ben mechutz laretz. However, li'achar knisas laretz. But if the mitzvah was commanded to us after we entered into the land, and in other words, it's totally on the land, so then ain't no noheges ela baris, and it's only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. The exceptions to this rule are chutz min hashmotas kisofim, the concept of that a debt that you have after the Shemitah year, some suggest it's before the Shemitah year, but the way we paskin is after the Shemitah year, so any financial debts that are still owed, so they're null and void, unless you made a prosbul, unless you gave them over to the Beis Din, or unless they fit some other certain specific characteristics, but in general, a debt, once the end of the Shemitah year comes, so the debt is null and void. That's called hashmotas kisofim, and also vishiluach avadim, and the sending away of an eved to freedom after the Yovel, an Eved Ivri that was a Nirtza, and he stayed on until the Yovel year. So that going free. V'shiluach avadim, this applies. Sha'afal pishin is tavu aleim li'acha k'nisos l'oritz. Even though these mitzvahs were given to us after we entered into Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, it's noheges, mein ba'aretz, mein b'chutz l'oritz. It's noheges, it's applicable in Eretz Yisrael and chutz l'oritz. And the obvious question is, but these aren't mitzvahs on the karka. So why would we have a hava mina to think that they aren't? So that's what the Gemara is now going to address. Hashmatas k'sofim, chovas agufi. Why are you saying that this is something that is a mitzvah that's totally in the karka, and therefore I might have thought that it should be only no heges in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore this is the exception. It's chutz min, hashmatas k'sofim, it's noheg both in Eretz Yisrael and chutz l'oritz. It's a chovas aguf. It's not a chovas akarka. So why would I think that? So the Gemara says, no. Lo nitzucha ela l'chedetanya. You need it. Rabbi Elazar Shimon said that this is a din because of the following brisa. And what does this brisa say? The brisa tells us, the Tanya, Rabbi Omer, this reviewed the Nasi. Reviewed the Nasi's opinion is, v'zeh dvar ha-shmita, and then it says the word shamot. So this is the law of shmita, of the shmatas kesofim, and shamot. And you will go and have the shmita. What does this mean? B'shtei shmitas akosu b'dabri. It's talking about two shmitas. It's talking about achas shmitas karka, the regular din of shmita in the land. You're not allowed to plow, etc. in the seventh year. And also the achas shmitas kesofim, that any debts that are owed at the end of the seventh year, they are null and void. So the extra language over here, shmita shamot, teaches us two shmitas. And therefore, Rebbe says, bizman sh'ato mishamed karka. At the time that you have the din of shmitas karka, so then, when we had the din of Shemitah in the Karka, Atam Mishamei Kesofim, then there is a din of Hashmatas Kesofim. However, Bismat Shiatam Mishamei Karka, when there is no din of Shemitah in the land, for example, when the Jewish people weren't in Eretz Yisrael yet, so Iatam Mishamei Kesofim, there is no din of Hashmatas Kesofim. So, when we were in the Midbar, or Chas V'Shalom, now Nebuch, when we're outside of Eretz Yisrael, and in this situation, there is no din of Shemitah in the fullest sense, so then, Bizman Shiyamata Mishamit, if there's no din of Shemitah's Karka, so then, Iyata Mishamik Sofen, then there is no din of Shemitah's Sofen. And therefore, if it wasn't for the fact that he says, Rabbi Elazar Shimon says that this is the exception to the rule, Chutz B'Nashmatas Kesofim, I would have said that no, it doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore, Kamash Balon, he's telling us that it applies in Chutz La'aretz as well. Where I ask, the Ema, maybe this doesn't mean that it applies to Chutz La'aretz, maybe it means only during the time that there is a Beis HaMikdash. Ema, b'makum sh'atim mishamei karka, atim mishamei kesofim. Maybe it means that whenever we have Hashmatas karka, then we have Hashmatas kesofim, it means, u'b'makum she'en atim mishamei karka, en atim mishamei kesofim. Maybe it only means in Eretz Yisrael. The din of Hashmatas Kesofim applies only where the din of Hashmatas Karka actually applies. Now, the difference between this and what we said before is, before we said was, when there is a din of Hashmatas Karka, then it applies all over the world. But now we're suggesting, maybe when there's a din of Hashmatas Karka, only in Eretz Yisrael is there Hashmatas Kesofim. U'b'makum she'ena tamishami karka, and in a place where there is no Hashmatas Karka ever, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we never have ena tamishami Kesofim ever. So maybe it's only din in Eretz Yisrael. Why does Rabbi Elazar Shimon say that this is an exception and it applies in Chutz La'aretz as well? Maybe this is the right way to learn it, not the way we first suggested. Shmuel says, no, it can't be. The first way we learned it is correct because it says, Talmud Lomar, Ki Koro Shmito Lashem. And that implies, Michol Makom, because you call it out any place. And therefore, it means every place. So therefore, as long as there is a Shmita, so then it applies Hashmita's Karka, so then there's Hashmata's Kesofim as well, even outside the land of Eretz Yisrael, like the first way that we learned it, like Rabbi Elazar Shimon said. Now, the second thing that he said was, the exception was, Chutz mi Shiluach Avadim. So again, what does Shiluach Avadim have to do with the Karka? Chovas Agufi, the Gemara says, same exact question. It has nothing to do with the Karka. So why are we connecting it and saying, oh, it's an exception to the rule that it doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael, only because it's like Karka, that it should only apply in Eretz Yisrael, but it applies to Chutz La'aretz as well. It's an exception to the rule. It has nothing to do with the Karka. It's a Chovas Agof. So again, the Gemara says, no. So I would have said, since the Pasuk tells us, hold, Ukrasim Duror Baris, who shall proclaim liberty throughout the land. Right, this was written on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. Ukrasim Duror Baris, you will go and proclaim liberty throughout the land. In other words, that applies in the land, Baritz. I would have said Baritz in Chutz La'aretz Law, that this then applies only in Eretz Yisrael, but not in Chutz La'aretz. Oh, Talmud Lomar, therefore it tells us, no, Yoveli, it ends off, Ukrasim Duror Baritz, Yoveli. And therefore, that implies Mikol Makom. So it applies to Chutz La'aretz as well. The Gemara has the obvious question. Im Kain, if that's true, it applies across the whole world. So then, Matam Loma Baris. So why did the Pasuk say across some drawer Baris? It should have just said across some drawer, Yovelhi. And that would apply all over the world. Why did it say Baritz? So the Gemara says, Bizman Shadror Nohe, when we have the din of Yovel. And all of the Avodim have to leave, so no egg ba'aretz, so then no egg b'chutz la'aretz. When Yovel is applicable, so then it's no egg this din of crossing drawer in chutz la'aretz as well. Ein drawer, however, if there is no freedom, if there's no Yovel, so ein drawer no egg ba'aretz, ein no egg b'chutz la'aretz, then there is no din in chutz la'aretz as well. Okay, that's why we understand the exceptions of the laws of Rav Shimon. Now the Gemara says, "Nan hasim." We learned in a mission in our law, it tells us, "Hechadosh asur min haTorah b'chol makom." It says the chadosh, this din of chadosh, the new crop, it's asur min haTorah every place, not only in Eretz Yisrael. The din of chadosh is applicable even in Chutz La'aretz, as Rashi says in Dibur Masel, "Asur min haTorah b'chol makom." Kesava, this Tana holds, Moshav means chol makom shatem yoshim mashma. So therefore, this Tana holds, like we said previously, the chadosh is noeg both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. That's a din beferish in the Torah from the word Moshav. Our law, that's halacha. Now we'll see in a moment, there's two possible explanations. I've been using the explanation of halacha, meaning halacha l'moshim Sinai. It's a din daraisa. And v'akilayim midivrei sofrim. But the din of kilayim is noeg in chutz la'aretz, only midivrei sofrim. So all three of these dinim, chadosh, arla, and kilayim, are noeg both in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz la'aretz, but for different reasons. Chadosh is noeg in every place because the pasuk beferish says so. Moshav, according to this Tana, means b'chol makom. Or it's halach l'moshav Sinai, that it takes effect in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. And Kilayim is midoraisa, permitted in Chutz La'aretz, but midirabanan, they said, no, you can't do Kilayim in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, now, what does it mean exactly, this word, orla halacha, my halacha? So we have two opinions. I've been only giving you the one that's halach l'moshav Sinai, but Amar Yudam Mishmuel, Yudam Mishmuel says, it means hilchasa medina, or others have the girsa, halachos medina, that it's no way, this is the practice in chutz la'aretz. So it is the accepted practice in chutz la'aretz that they hold orla, not that it's a din daraisa. That's the opinion of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. On the other hand, Ula Amar Yochanan, Ula tells the name of Yochanan, halacha l'moshe misinai. This means halacha, it means it's halacha l'moshe misinai. In other words, it's a din daraisa. Now, Ula questions, Amalei Ula the Rav Yehuda, Ula questions Rav Yehuda, who said this in the name of Shmuel, and he says, Bishlam al-Lidei, my opinion that I said over the name of Yochanan, that it is halacha l'moshav Sinai, I can understand the following braisa, but you're going to have trouble with the following braisa. So he says, Bishlam al-Lidei, according to my interpretation, that it means halacha l'moshav Sinai, so then we understand, if Arla is a din daraisa, halacha l'moshav Sinai, and Kilayim is only a din derabanan, we can understand the following braisa that's going to show us, a Mishnah actually, that there's a difference between Arla and Kilayim. But according to you, who say that it's just a halacha, Arla is also a regular din derabanan, so then why should there be a difference between two dinim derabanan? As we'll see in a moment, there's a difference between Arla and Kilayim. According to you, they're both dinim derabanan, so why should there be a difference? That's the overall picture of the question. Now let's see it inside. So Ula says, Bishlam l'didid, yamin halacha l'moshav Sinai. I say this is a din daraisa by Arla and a din derabanan by Kilayim. So therefore, hainu d'shani lan. Therefore, in the following Mishnah, we're going to learn that there's a difference between sofek Arla with sofek Kilayim. If something is not clear that it's Arla and something is not clear that it's Kilayim, we can understand why there'll be a difference in the psak halacha, because Arla is a din daraisa and Kilayim is a din derabanan. So we can understand why there would be a difference in this sofek situation. Where do we learn this? It's not. We learn this in the following Mishnah. And this is a Mishnah that we have in Arla, and we also have it in the Gemara in Brachos, where it says, Safek Arla ba'aretz asur. If you have a questionable din of Arla in Eretz Yisrael, in other words, you go over to somebody and they have a farm that has Arla products and non-Arla products on it, and you go and buy for them, you're not allowed to go buy for them, because if it's a Safek Arla in Eretz Yisrael, it's asur. So even Al Safek is going to be asur. Likewise, this Surya in Surya, which is not considered part of Eretz Yisrael, even though David HaMelech conquered Surya, this was called the Kivush Yochid. And therefore, while in some ways it has the status of Eretz Yisrael, in other ways it doesn't. And in regards to the din of Arla, it definitely doesn't have the din of Arla in Surya, and therefore it is mutter. In a situation where it's a suffix, is this an Arla or not? So you're allowed to go and have it if it was growing in Surya. And in Chutz La'aretz, Yored, one is permitted to go to that guy who owns that field, the Lokeach, and purchase from him fruit, as long as, even though there's a suffix, is it Arla or not, Ubavach lo yirenu locate, as long as you don't see him go and take it from a tree that is Vadai Arla fruit. So we see it because it's a din daraisa, that's what Ula is going to argue, we see that with somewhat machmi, you can't go and take it directly if you know it's definitely Arla, even in Chutz La'aretz. However, it says, V'ilu gabe kilayim tnan, but it says in that same Mishnah, in regards to kilayim, it says, kerem hanotua yerek. If you have a vineyard that has planted it within it vegetables, which is a din of kilayim. So there is the potential over here that any fruits that are sold from this general area certainly are potentially that kilayim. But what happens now? There are other fruits there that are not kilayim. So hanotua yerek, there was a kerem that was planted with yerek, but there's also yerek that's not planted in the kerem. The yerek nimkar chutzlo, and outside this area where there was definitely kilayim, but there also was non-kilayim, somebody is selling vegetables that are not kilayim. So is it kilayim or is it not kilayim? So in Eretz Yisrael, if you're dealing over here ba'aretz, so then also, because you have to go l'chumra. If you're dealing b'suria, where this din doesn't apply at all, so then it's mutter. And if you're dealing b'chutz la'aretz, if you're dealing with other places, so then yored, you're permitted to go into that guy's field, to locate and go and have the guy go and take vadai kilayim zroim from that field, and the only restriction is ubavach lo yilkot biyad. You can't go and pick it, but the guy can go pick it. So in regards to kilayim, we allow the guy to go and actually pick the vegetables. Whereas in regards to arla, we don't let him go and pick it if it's vadai arla in front of you, but you can go take it from him afterwards as long as you didn't see him pick it from the vadai arla. So we see that there's a difference in the din of Arla. We're stricter than in Kilayim. In Arla, we don't let you go and take it from the Vadai tree, even if he takes it. Whereas in Kilayim, we let him take the Vadai Kilayim as long as you don't take it. So it makes sense, Ula says, if you hold that there's a difference, Arla is the Raisa, and Kilayim is only the Rabbanan in the Chutz La'aretz, oh, we understand why there's a difference. But according to you, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, why should there be a difference? According to you, it's a halacha. It's din the Rabbanan. So both Arla and Kilayim are both the Rabbanan. They should have the exact same din. That's the kasha that Ula asks to Rav Yehuda. Elali didach. According to you, and we turn to Lamatesa Mad Aleph, it should say, Nisne ozeh vizeh yorid v'lokeach. Either in both situations, the din should be the same, that you can go and have the guy go and take it, but you can't go and see him take it. Or you could go down there in both cases and have the guy actually take it, as long as you don't take it yourself. Why should there be a difference? So that's what Yehuda was asked by Ula, and he answers, Amalei Shmuel l'Ravanan. So he answered him that Shmuel had told Ravanan, you read it wrong, you're right. Read the Mishnah, Tni, Ozev is a Yored v'lokeach, Ozev is a Yored v'lokeach. You're right, they both have the same exact din. So don't have them as opposite dinim. One is that you go and have the guy take it with his own hands, and you can watch it. And the other one is that you can't watch him do it, but as long as he does it on his own, and he comes back with it, and you don't know for certain it came from that tree, it's allowed. No, don't darshan it that way. The Mishnah is wrong the way it's that way. Either both of them are the exact same din of Yored V'lokeach, or both of them are the exact same din of Yored V'lokeach. And therefore, it makes perfectly good sense, Shmuel says, that they're both a din derabbanan. They both have the exact same din. Alternatively, Mar Berei derabbana, the son Mar of Ravana, said, Mas Nele Lekula, that you can learn them both Lekula. Zev Ze Yored V'lokeach, Ubavash Lo Yilkot B'yad. He had them both, Befeirish, as being Lekula, that you're allowed to go and purchase it from the guy, as long as you don't yourself go and pick it, even though you see him pick it from the tree that's Vadei Arla, or from the Kilayim that's Vadei Kilayim, as long as you didn't pick it, he picked it, it is permissible in Chutz La'aretz. Finally, the last thing they want to clear up, if it may not have been clear, was we said in Surya was Mutter, and then it's even more Kula in Chutz La'aretz. It didn't maybe sound that way, because once you say it's Mutter, and then in Chutz La'aretz we had a question, so the Chiddush is that in Surya it's Mutter, but you're not allowed to go and ask him to go and give you specifically Safek Arla. Whereas in Chutz La'aretz, you're even allowed to specifically go and ask him to sell you items that are Sofek. So that's the difference between Surya, where we say it's Mutter, but it doesn't mean that it's Mutter to go and ask him to give it to you. It just means Mutter after the fact. Whereas in Chutz La'aretz, where we're not concerned that you mix it up with Eretz Yisrael, like we would be in Surya, so therefore you can even go and ask him, L'chatkila, to go and sell you stuff from Sofek Arla, Sofek Kilayim. This is a good breakpoint. With this, we conclude today's shiur.